words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So I'd like to invite the kids forward. So I'm thinking maybe Fiona might like to come forward, and Oliver. Do I see Hank? Hank, do you want to come up? I know Caleb, do you guys want to come up? It's up to you. All right. Are you going to bring Fiona up too? All right.
I see Legos.
I do. Maybe. Maybe not. I see Legos. How are you? Are you a reader? I know you are. But before I ask you to read something, I'm going to talk, okay? And maybe Fiona's going to come sit with us too. I won't talk very long, okay? When I was preparing for my reflections today, there was a song lyric that kept bobbing through my head. And the song lyric is this, ready? It's, I am he, as you are me, and we are all together. Now I know you're way too young to know what that's from. I'm going to read it again and see if anybody out there recognizes it. I am he, as you are me, and we are all together. Do you guys recognize that?
Yes.
The Beatles. I am the walrus. Okay. And this, to me, is a really confusing lyric. Doesn't it sound really funny? And I wonder, when they wrote that, if perhaps they were on some sort of non-prescription pharmaceuticals. And that's how I feel about this. And I wish I were on something mind-altering to do this sermon. However, I'm not. So we're going to talk a little bit about the gospel. Now, I highlighted the portion. Do you see that on there? And the first sentence, what does the first sentence say, Oliver? Oliver read, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Do you guys pray? When do you pray? Before lunch and dinner. When I was little, we prayed at Grace, and then when I went to bed. And when I prayed, I said, God bless Mom and Dad. God bless Chris and Edward. Those are my brothers. Had to bless them. God bless Nan and Grandpa Fish, Nan and Grandpa Barwell, and God bless me too. So do you sometimes pray like that at bedtime? Maybe not. That's okay. But that was my bedtime prayer. Oh, we got good Episcopalians back there. Apparently Oliver's and Fiona's parents read from the Book of Common Prayer to them. All right. Well, this story today in the gospel is Jesus praying. And do you know who he's praying for? He's praying for us. Let me see it. What did I highlight second, Oliver? Yes. So can you read the second, or do you want to read it, Hank? All right, Hank's going to read the second part that's highlighted. Can you read that for me? Very good. So, yes, Craig was snapping for you. It says, I'll read it again. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word. So Jesus was praying for his disciples. Are you guys disciples?
Yeah.
Do you know why you're disciples? Because you believe in God, right? And you believe in Jesus. And so he was praying for his disciples. And not only was he praying for his disciples, hold on. He was praying for those to come, okay? So he was praying not for just you and me, or not for just them, but all the people that came after them. So he was praying for Fiona and Oliver and Hank and Caleb back there, and even Jared. He was praying for all of them, right? No, amazing how that is. And he was praying that they would all be one. Now, in here, I have just a few Legos. And what are these Legos? What do they look like to you? Are they people? And there are a couple of different parts for those people, aren't they? So, we have, let me see. We have some legs. We have some bodies. And we have some heads. And if we put them together, what do we have? We have a person. How many persons? One. So Fiona has one, and Oliver has one, and Hank has one. Oops, my face was backwards. I'll turn it around. Oh, as it turns out, this backwards. Did you see that? There's faces on both sides. Oh. Ooh. Huh. Anyway. Yours doesn't, but mine did. So anyway, so we're all, and so we're a little bit like this, because Jesus is asking us to be one together. And this is where the confusing part of the sermon becomes. Who wants to read this next part? You want to try it? Yeah. Or should I? You want to try it again? Okay, Hank. So this is where I feel like we have a lot of tongue twisters. So I'm going to have you read this third sentence, okay? That's right. So, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. Have you guys seen these before? What are these? Yeah, they're called nesting, Russian nesting dolls. And what about the Russian nesting dolls? Is that there's how many dolls here, do you think? Do you see that? We have three nesting dolls. And this is how I feel about this passage here. I am in, God is in me, or God is in Jesus, Jesus is in God, and we are all one together. Does that make sense? Uh-oh, is there a nesting one? Oh, yes, because I have my head, my nest hat. There you go. So this is how I think of this sermon, like these nesting dolls, where we're all supposed to be one. You guys like those, all right? Share your tonight. So when you guys are all, when we talk about all being one, Jesus is talking about us all, all being one together. And now I see, even here, can you guys always get along? Nah, why not? Yeah, you can? Gio and Fiona always like to read the same book at bedtime. Ah, normally you read different books. Is that true for you and Forrest, hey? Kind of. Do you guys all like the same, like, play the same game?
No.
No.
Do you like to all watch the same TV program?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. okay. Apparently. So Fiona and Oliver watch the same one because that's the only thing you can do, right? But in any case, even if you're not liking the same TV shows or the same books, are you all in the same family? Well, I know Hank and Forrest is in his family, right? And Oliver, who's in your family? Fiona and Sydney? And you and who else? Oh, and Mom and Dad. So you're all one. Well, you know what God's asking us? God is asking us to be all one with Him. Okay? And that is what we're learning today, that God loves us. And He wants us to be one in Him. Just like this nesting doll. Oh, the who wakes up? Yeah, just like this nesting doll is all in one. That's we're supposed to be all in one with Jesus. And to love Him just as Jesus has loved us. Alright? Thanks, guys. How many do you have there? Do you have enough for two? Do you have enough for your family? Do you want a different color, Hank? Alright, you guys can take them. I don't care. That's fine. I have no little ones at home, so. Anyway, thank you for coming up. Often when we're out in the world, we don't feel one with our neighbors, do we? It's hard. The world is hard. There's a real lack of oneness out there. The news is filled with controversies and headlines that make us shake our heads. We can't agree on anything. We know gun violence is bad, but we can't agree on how to curb it or stop it. You know, our politicians are always arguing with each other. We profess that we're one nation, but we don't know who to welcome in or who to keep out. Even spelling bees can cause consternation. Diane's raising her head here, or nodding her head. I don't know if you heard, but this week Scripps held their national spelling bee, and there were an 8-way tie. They had to give it up. They just couldn't do it anymore. There wasn't enough challenging words for these kids. And you know what? I say congratulations to those kids. That is great. And did you know, according to the Washington Post, social media was filled with comments Like, this is a completely useless skill. Memorizing lists of complicated words might help win this competition, but it is of virtually no use in the real world. Better to learn proper usage of such words as there, and there. Or ridiculous, wrote another. The kids aren't smarter. They're spending thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours hiring coaches, etc. The entire thing should be ended. It's basically a memorizing game. Yeah, some of this might be true, but really? It's a spelling bee. When I first heard about these amazing kids, I was taken by their support for each other during the final rounds. CNN reported that the 8 champions agreed that once the possibility of a tie was announced, they each hoped that all of them would answer their words correctly. As a speller, you know how hard everyone else has had to work, and you know how much they deserve to win. One of the winners said, "That begins to describe oneness to me." So what does it mean to be one? It might be a family unit. It may not be. It might be where you are in community. I wonder if in the context of this lesson, it means to be in community together, following the way of Jesus. I agree with the writer, the Reverend Lucy Lynn Hogan, when she writes, "Does that mean we all have to get along all the time? We know that Fiona and Oliver don't. We know Hank and Forrest don't. I can't imagine all of us get along all the time. Does it mean we have to agree all the time?" If one thinks of this as a functional political statement, it would seem to call for constant agreement and accord. But if one thinks more in ontological terms, then it becomes who we are. We are one in Christ whether we agree with each other or not. To become part of Christ is to become a part of the community, a part of one. I want to be a part of that community where we're all one in Christ. When we finish reading this lesson, we hear of Jesus proclaiming his love for all of us through all the generations. John records the end of the prayer as Jesus saying, "I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Think again like our little Russian lady here. Jesus loved us all as he has made known to us. Jesus consistently talked about loving our neighbors just as he loves us. We not always like each other. We may not always agree. After all, we are human. But we can live in God as he lives in us in a loving manner. As Reverend Hogan concludes, may we rejoice in the assurance that Christ is with us, continuing to pray for our oneness, our unity.